Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in Ephesians chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and so on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the treasury of divine grace. When the minister gives the benediction, he speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In wonderful grace, Christ came to save, and all grace is in him, and all that we need is in him. And so we are to receive grace, as the apostle says, in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Those who are united to Christ are blessed. So I can ask you, are you in Christ? Well, if you are, then you are truly blessed. And how you should bless God who has blessed you. How we should praise the Lord who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you not in Christ? Well, there is no other way to receive these wonderful blessings. How you need to come to Jesus. How important it is that we lay to heart the great duty of faith in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you will experience these blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, the blessings include forgiveness, and whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin, forgiveness of sin. The blessings include strength, help, everything that we need for time and for eternity. And with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, as we look at this text, the source of the blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. The source of the blessings is God the Father. And secondly, the treasury of the blessings, and that is Christ alone. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. They're all found in him. Apart from him, there is no experience of these blessings. In Christ, we are blessed with all these blessings. He is the treasury, the storehouse of blessings, spiritual blessings, in heavenly places, in Christ. And thirdly, the access to the blessings. It is by union with Christ, and it is by faith in him, because the gospel is the means of salvation, the means of communicating or conveying to us these blessings, as we read later on in verse 13, in whom, that is in Christ, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel brings us salvation, and it is by believing in Christ, revealed in the gospel, that we come to experience these saving blessings. So first of all, the source of the blessings. Secondly, the treasury of the blessings. And thirdly, the access to the blessings. We begin with the source of the blessings, and it is God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians. He had heard of their faith and love. We read later on, And because of that, he did not cease to give thanks for them. He recognized that they were saved by grace, and he gives God thanks for what he has done for them in drawing them to himself to embrace Christ. Well, he gives thanks and he blesses God for the rich blessings bestowed upon them, found in verse 15. So he blesses God. Now, how can a person like you and me bless God? Well, there are three different meanings for blessing in the scriptures. And when we bless God, we are simply praising him. God is the ever-blessed one. We cannot add to his blessedness. We cannot add to his greatness or glory. But we're to declare it. We're to acknowledge it. We're to say, blessed be God. Acknowledge that he is worthy of all praise and adoration. And so that is what Paul is doing. He is blessing or praising God because God has blessed his people. But when we bless others simply by praying for God's blessing upon them, and that is another use of the word bless, when the patriarchs blessed their sons or grandchildren, they would be praying for God's blessing upon them. We cannot impart the blessing. We can perhaps give to others, and that may be a blessing for them. We sang in Psalm 16, David says, my goodness extendeth not to thee. I cannot add to God's greatness. I cannot make him more blessed. But my goodness extendeth to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. That I show kindness to others, to thy people. I delight in them and I want to do them good. And we're to do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we bless others by praying for God's blessing upon them. We cannot make them blessed, but we can pray. We're to pray for God's blessing upon them. And finally, when God blesses us, and that's what we read of here, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God is prospering us. He is causing us to succeed in doing his will. And he is blessing us by giving us blessings, blessing us with spiritual blessings. And when God blesses us in this saving way, and really apart from salvation, what blessing is there? The blessing is to be saved. The blessing is to have a spiritual blessing in Christ. And when he blesses us, we are truly blessed. As Isaac said to Esau about Jacob, when he gave the blessing to Jacob and not to Esau, Isaac said, yea, and he shall be blessed. So this is what is said of God's people. Yes, they shall be blessed. They are truly blessed because God has blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These are spiritual blessings, which means they are not only blessings for the soul, for the spiritual nature of the believer, but blessings received through the Spirit. That's what the word most of the time, if not always, means in the Bible. Spiritual meaning having to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us, conveys to us these blessings. By the Spirit, we receive these spiritual blessings. It is by his working faith in us so that we are united to Christ, by whom we have access to these blessings. And so here is Paul. He is blessing God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Paul is blessing or praising God as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember how the Lord Jesus said to Mary after he rose from the dead, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is he both the God and Father of Christ? Well, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has two natures, divine and human. And he is the God-man, mediator, one person, and reconciling man to God because he is both God and man. And as man, he trusted in God. This man trusted in God because Jesus is a man, a real man. But he is also the eternal Son, the Son of the Father in truth and love. So as the eternal Son, God is his Father. And Paul is acknowledging the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the grace of adoption, which we read of here in verse 5, he is our God and Father as well. In Christ, being united to Christ, he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we are in him, represented by him, united to him by the Spirit and by faith, he is our God. He is our Father. And how we should draw near to the Lord, to God as our Father. As children who have confidence in their parents, we should have confidence in God as our Father, drawing near to him, asking him to help us in our weakness, in all our needs. God desires this of his people. He is willing to assure them of his love. And when you look at the benediction, with each person of the Trinity, what is emphasized with the Holy Spirit is communion or fellowship. What is emphasized with Jesus is his grace, which we'll come to see. And what is emphasized with God the Father is his love. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you all. God is willing to confirm to us his love. God the Father, he loved his people and sent his Son to die for them. And he's ready to assure us of his love. And he's telling us that we should come to him as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should draw near with others in prayer. So we should not only confide in God the Father, we should bless him. Paul is saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." We should praise him, and we will praise God when we get a view of these blessings that are revealed in Christ, and when we get a view of the origin of them. We're thinking of the source of these spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. God has blessed us. The blessings have their origin in God and his sovereign grace. What is brought before us here is that God is the source of these blessings, and God in his grace, his undeserved love, the favor of God which is free. We have not merited any blessing from God. We have not earned it. But God is pleased to bestow these blessings freely upon us. Why? It is because he has chosen to do so. And no other reason can be given apart from his mere good pleasure. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He was pleased to do so. And this is what the church will praise God for throughout the endless ages of eternity. The church will praise the Father for his boundless, wondrous grace. As Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 20 says, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Well, salvation, all the blessings of salvation, salvation itself has its origin in the love and free favor of God. As we read in Hosea chapter 14, God says, I will love them freely. It is in his purpose. Verse 9, we read, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He has purposed to do so. God was not moved by outside forces, but he is from within determined. He has purposed it in himself. And then we read in verse 11, in whom also, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreordained or elected beforehand, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to the or after the counsel of his own will. God willed the salvation of his people. And it's he is all wise, and he does not give any account of his matters. He is sovereign in his choice, and he chose to save. That's the wonder of it. Sinners deserve to be punished for their sins, and when God punishes sinners, he is acting according to justice. But when he saves sinners, he's acting according to grace. He freely chooses them. He could have left them to be punished in hell forever, but he chose to save them in sovereign, free grace. And you see that how grace is celebrated in chapter 2, how God's people were sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, and yet God quickened them who were dead in trespasses and sins. They were children of disobedience. They didn't deserve the favor of God. They were disobedient. They deserved God's wrath, children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Meditate on verse 4, how full it is of God's grace, rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And notice how quick he is to put in parentheses, by grace ye are saved. So ready, it's as if he is impatient to remind us, we're saved by grace. And so he speaks of what he has done, raising up his people to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Why? Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he sums it all up climactically in verse 8 by saying, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People will quarrel against the doctrine of salvation by grace. They think it is unfair that God would pass by some and choose others for salvation, or rather, they want to think that they have some goodness in them, and they were saved because they tried harder than others. But it surely reveals our depravity and even enmity when the doctrine of free grace is so often assailed, it is opposed by many people. Even today, they think it. They will be ready to say that's a doctrine that is from Satan, that it is meant to puff people up or whatever, and it takes away the responsibility of man. But the doctrine, the teaching of God's word of free grace, should rather encourage us. And friends, if we were really convinced of our sin, if we were really convinced of our helplessness, and that we don't deserve anything, we don't deserve the smallest benefit from the Lord, we deserve nothing. If we were convinced of that, wouldn't we welcome free grace? Wouldn't we be ready to hear more about the free grace of God saving sinners? With sinners that don't deserve any favor, that God's grace is wonderful because it is unmerited. There's hope. Hope because of this as well, that God has purposed to save sinners. You see, if salvation were left up to us, and if it all depended upon our ability and our love and our holiness, then no one would be saved. Nobody would be saved. But salvation is dependent upon the free grace of God. The origin is in the purpose of God, his good pleasure from eternity. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Where sin abounded, and how it has abounded, that's the problem, friends. We don't see it abounding as we should. Just take a look around you. Can't you see abounding sin? Take a look within you. Can't you see abounding sin? The fact that you quarrel with God's word shows how sin is abounding within you. Rebelliousness just flowing out of you. You don't like the doctrine of election, perhaps. Ah, sin is abounding. Hardness of heart, rebelling against God and his word. Ah, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And there is hope even for an abounding sinner like you. Hope for the guilty. Hope for the guiltiest. And is found in Christ. Hope in him. Rely on his mercy. Oh, how thankful we should be. We are not saved by our works, but we are saved by grace through faith. And even that is his gift. Pray for the gift. Ask for the gift of God. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Pray for the living water. Pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the gift of faith. Pray that you would be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And if we have experienced these blessings, if we are among those who have by grace been brought to believe in Christ for salvation, how we should join the psalmist and be stirred up magnify and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that is what we consider secondly, that the treasury of the blessings. These blessings are in heavenly places, and they are in Christ, the treasury of the blessings. Well, this is the location where the blessings are found. Heaven is where the blessings are received from. Heaven is where Christ is. He came from heaven. He ascended into heaven. And he sends down his Spirit to work in us, to give us the blessings. Heaven, in fact, is where his people are. He has blessed us in heavenly places. You read in chapter 2 and verse 6 that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that is where believers are. They're even now in heaven by virtue of their head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in person, as far as our bodies are concerned, our souls are concerned, we are still in the flesh, we're still here on earth. But we are united to Christ. If we're believers, we are united to Christ, and our head, Jesus, is in heaven. And we are in heaven because we have a place in heaven. And we have a right and title to heaven in Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, "For our conversation is in heaven." Some translate, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. We're just here on earth for a little while. We're travelers. We need to confess that we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're journeying onward to heaven. That's where our true home is. So God has blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. These are spiritual blessings, and they are heavenly blessings. They come from heaven, and they will end in heaven. As the Lord Jesus said, that the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's where it has its confluence. That's where it goes, reaches heaven, where believers will spend eternity. So these blessings that we read of here are spiritual blessings. We can say they are heavenly blessings. They are spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do you desire these blessings? Not merely earthly blessings. That's all that some people care about. Earthly goods, material possessions, more of this world. They care about health. They care about wealth. More of the things of earth. And nothing wrong with health and nothing wrong with wealth in themselves. Of course not. They may be God's gifts to us, and we're to use them to his glory. But the Lord Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, what you value most, that's where your heart is also. Now, some people, their hearts are cleaving to the world. They're like the horses and cattle that keep their heads bent downward. All they do is look at the ground and eat the things that come from the ground. But God's people are looking upwards. Their eyes and their hearts ascend heavenward. They're setting their affections, they love to do so, setting their affections upon things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. They do feel at times that their souls are cleaving to the dust. They recognize it. They see that. They're not happy with that. It's their burden. It's their grief. And they're going to God with that, and they're saying, quicken me. Quicken me. Are you praying like that? Lord, quicken me. Revive me. Quicken me according to thy word, that I would not cleave to the dust. Oh, that my heart would be going upwards, 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 heavenwards. Yes, friends, these are life and death issues. Can you not see it? If we're just cleaving to the dust, we're going to sink down, down, down to the lowest hell. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Little children should be told that. It stays with them. Parents, tell your children that God is saying we should set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Jesus is saying, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That should not be the focus and the emphasis, but heaven. Little children can die, and where will they go when they die? Either to heaven or hell. Lift up your eyes, look to Jesus, set your affections, and pray that he would draw your affections to Christ in heaven above. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And God's people, their treasure is in heaven. And Christ is the treasure house. Christ is the great treasury house for all grace. Oh, how we should marvel at this and, as it were, scramble to the door to receive the treasures that Christ has, because he is the storehouse of blessing. What blessings are in him? Forgiveness, strength, wisdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus," you're in him, "who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Oh, how wonderful are these blessings. Friends, how numerous are these blessings. What bounty is stored up in Christ. What riches and spiritual wealth is in him. You think of the great gold mines of the world, mines for diamonds and silver, or the famous banks of the world, the World Bank, and how they can loan out money to poor countries. Oh, but there is no wealth and no source of riches like in Christ. Oh, the treasure house above, the merit that is in him, infinite merit because of his finished work. It's all in him. Righteousness is in him. Grace is in him. And he is the wonderful counselor. And do you know what he is telling us in his word? He is saying, "I counsel thee. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." Why would he counsel us? Why would he advise us to do that? Well, because he has it to give us. He has all riches, all wealth. Why would he say, "Come, get it from me," if he didn't have it? He has all spiritual wealth, all the spiritual blessings, the treasures are in him because he is the treasury. "Buy of me gold tried in the fire." In other words, get grace to stand any trial. Some people are concerned. The Lord's people may be concerned about persecutions if they come. Will we be able to endure? And how will we cope when the fire is hot, the fire of affliction is hotter and ready to burn us? Well, the answer is found in God's word. He gives grace, gold tried in the fire, grace that will endure any trial. How good it is to read some of the accounts of the martyrs who were given such strength in the furnace of affliction that it's as if they didn't even feel the pain of it. There are accounts like that. God is able to help us. If we're willing to serve him, if we're willing to be faithful unto death, he will help us all the way through. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." And so this is what we should be storing up. We're to be laying up treasure in heaven. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what persecutions await us. But we do know this. We have the treasure house. We have the promise of God's word, grace to help in time of need. Well, you're not suffering persecution like that just yet. You don't need it yet. He will give you grace in time of need. So lay up in the promises. Lay up in your heart the comfort, knowing that he has gold, grace, the gold of grace that will withstand any fiery trial. Oh yes, all that we need is in him. Wisdom is in him. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think of that. Some of us are complaining almost every day, "Oh, I need wisdom. I don't know anything. What is my duty? How do I deal with this or that or the other?" God promises wisdom. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." He's the treasury house. He is the risen and exalted Lord who says to his servants, "All power is given unto me." Where is this power? Is it only on earth? No, is it in heaven and on earth? The whole universe is under his control. He holds the reins of the universe. He has all power and he has all spiritual blessings in himself. He's the treasury house. When Ezra was going to go back from Persia or Babylon to Jerusalem and begin to build the temple, rebuild the temple, the king was encouraging him and assuring him that all that he needed, all the wealth that was necessary for rebuilding the temple would be at his disposal. He is directing him to go forward, go back to Jerusalem, whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren, to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. And then Ezra chapter 7, verse 20, he says, and whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. It's all coming out of the king's treasure house, all that was necessary for the rebuilding of the temple. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, unto 100 measures of wheat, and so on. It's almost mind-boggling to see what was granted to Ezra for the rebuilding of the temple. That he wasn't even to be taxed, and he was to have open access to go forward and rebuild the temple. But still, there was a limitation. And so we hear it today. You can have this. It's available for you while supplies last. But there is no limit in the treasury house of Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the inexhaustible fountain. God has laid up in him his own Son, who is co-equal with the Father, life, blessing. As we read in Revelation chapter 5, when God's people who are saved, or actually the angels in this case, they are saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He has all of these things at his command, all ready for to bestow upon us as we need it. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because he will equip his servants for the work, no matter how poor they feel. He is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. Yours for the taking, yours for the receiving as necessary. Oh, the Lord is not going to waste his gifts. He will give us what we need when we need it. But it's all there. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, friends, we need not despair. The Lord Jesus has all merit. The poor child of God is feeling the guilt of sin recognizing that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We get in the thick of the circumstances and we think about what needs to be done, and we move from here to there, and we're almost swept away by all the busyness. And then we come to a point where we see all of our sins and failings. Our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There's not a strip of righteousness of our own. Where are we to go for righteousness but to the Lord Jesus Christ? In him is merit, in him is righteousness. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, righteousness to cover us, so that even Joshua the high priest, he was clothed and covered in filthy rags. But God says to him, or Christ says to him, or to those around him, take away from him the filthy garments and clothe him with change of raiment, so the filthy rags of our sins are taken away, and he covers us with the white robe of his righteousness. Yes, the Lord Jesus has merit, and he provides the wedding garment of his own righteousness. It is all his provision. All merit resides in him, and he ever lives to make intercession for his people, so that he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. It's all through Christ. It's not skirting around him. It's going to God through him. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the storehouse of blessing. We're to look to him for the blessing. As the great high priest, he commands the blessing. The Spirit comes from Christ to us. As the oil was poured upon the high priest Aaron and flowed down from his hair and his beard down to his garments, so the Holy Spirit comes to us from Christ, through him, descending upon all the members of his body. Are we among the spiritual body of Christ? Are we depending upon his merits? Are we relying upon him for the Spirit? Are we drinking of that rock? Think of that blessed rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, typified by the rock in the desert, as we were hearing about on Wednesday evening. The children of Israel did all drink of the same spiritual rock, the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So as the water flowed from the rock to provide drink for the people, so the Holy Spirit comes to us from Christ the rock to fill us with grace, to refresh our souls. Christ has the Spirit to give. Ask and ye shall receive. Because the Spirit is in him without measure. God giveth the Spirit to him not by measure, John the Baptist said. And he has the Spirit for us. He has the blessing for us, for all who believe, all who are in him. God says in his word, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Christ has suffered and died to procure these blessings. It is through his death that we have life. It is by his suffering on the cross, his enduring the wrath and curse of God, that he obtained the Spirit for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse to give us the Spirit. We're to go to Christ. We're to look to the cross. Remember, the cross is the channel, the pathway by which the Spirit comes to us. And if we desire the Spirit, yes, we should meditate upon his word, but it's not through meditation only. It is primarily by going to the cross of Christ, by looking to Jesus who was crucified. We must go to the blood and we'll receive the Spirit, because he was pierced to wash us by his blood and by his Spirit. Forthwith came there out blood and water, and the water represents the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. So we're to go to the cross, go to Jesus who was crucified. He purchased these blessings, and if we desire these blessings, we must go to the purchaser. We're not going to obtain it without some cost, but it's not some price that we pay. The price has been paid already, and Christ has paid that price by his own precious blood purchased, blessings purchased by his blood which is of infinite value. What a price that was paid to obtain these blessings. The blessings were purposed by the Father. The origin is in him. They were purchased by the Son. Christ has redeemed his people. He has purchased their right and their title to these blessings. How we should value these blessings. How we should praise God for them. Oh, what price can you put on these precious blessings? Invaluable blessings bought with the price of the blood of Christ. All these blessings in him. The blessings are endless. So many blessings are found in this very chapter. The blessing of election is the first blessing that is found here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Have you come to Christ? Are you believing in Jesus? Is he all your hope and all your salvation, and you have no other hope but Christ for forgiveness and acceptance with God? You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. What a blessing that is. Oh, do you desire that? Do you consider election to be the greatest blessing? Some poor sinner is hearing about election. Oh, if I knew I were elect. Oh, that would be the greatest blessing. Where will you find election? It's in Christ, chosen in him. The blessing is in him. Go to Jesus for the blessing. Come to Christ and you will know that you are elect. What else is in Christ? Holiness. Chosen in Christ, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let me ask you a question. Did God choose you because you were holy? Oh, I wonder how many people think that in this community. Those Christians that go to church, they must be very holy, and God has chosen them because they were so good. No. He has chosen you to holiness, chosen you in order to make you holy, to give you the gift of holiness. He chose you, he elected you, irrespective of holiness, without you having done one good thing or bad before you existed. And all of God's people in themselves are children of disobedience. They're not holy. Children of wrath. Now, they have not merited God's favor. They deserve his wrath. So they are chosen to be holy. So holiness is one of the blessings. Bound up in Christ. How many are these blessings? Sonship or adoption, the grace of adoption, is found amongst the blessings. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Do you desire to be among the children? Oh, to be among the children of God. That's the greatest blessing, you might be saying. Well, it's in Christ. By Jesus Christ to himself. As Hugh Martin points out, blessing of adoption, the grace of adoption, to be brought into this relationship as a child to the Father required a Savior standing in that relation himself. Jesus is the eternal Son. But because he is the Son, if we're in him, we are made sons or daughters by adoption, the grace of adoption, whereby we have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. What a blessing that is. What a privilege to be pitied, to be protected, to be provided for. Blessings bound up in Christ. Acceptance, we read, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Who wants to be rejected? There are people who can't stand to be rejected. Well, it's better to be rejected by the world if we're accepted by God. Accepted in the beloved. That is to be treated with favor. The divine favor, which is not merited. God loved his Son. And the Son, Jesus Christ, is worthy of all the love and the favor of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God says of Christ, he is accepted for his own sake. But you see, if we're in Christ, if we come to Jesus, we are accepted for Christ's sake, accepted in the beloved. And if we're in Christ, just as God loves Christ, his Son, so he loves us in his Son with an everlasting love. Oh, how we should run to Jesus, that we would be loved in this love and enjoy God's free favor in Christ. What more should I say? The time would fail us to speak of all of these blessings. Redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Do you desire forgiveness? It's in Christ. The blessedness of the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. That is in Christ. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Sin is the great barrier that keeps us from enjoying God's favor, but Christ has taken away our sin. He has removed it by his sacrifice for every believer in whom, if we're in Christ, we have redemption, deliverance by the payment of a ransom, even the forgiveness of sins, which means the sending away. Forgiveness is the New Testament word, which means in the original, sending away. He lets go, lets our sins go. They're not bound to us. We're not punished for them. The sins are sent away, cast into the depths of the sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He's also given us the revelation of the gospel. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wisdom refers to the revelation of the truth, the knowledge which is necessary for salvation. And prudence is the understanding that he gives us, the divine illumination so that we understand the scriptures. That's given to us in Christ. The blessing of understanding God's word is from Christ. It is by Christ sending the Spirit to us and opening our eyes. And Paul desired more of that for the Ephesians when he says that he desired that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God gives us wisdom and understanding. He shows us the glory and beauty of his word, the loveliness of Christ. He makes known to us the mystery of his will. And there's the inheritance of verse 11. And there's the sealing of the Spirit found in verse 13, where he says that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What is a seal? Well, in the old days, they would take a stamp, a piece of metal with an engraving on it, and they would press it into the wax and leave an impression. And that was a seal. Well, the Holy Spirit seals believers, leaves his impression upon us. That is the grace he gives us, which is the evidence that we are his people. And so we should ask, have I been impressed, as it were, by the Holy Spirit putting a new heart in me? And perhaps you're saying, well, I desire marks of grace. How do I know I'm one of the Lord's people? Where is the evidence? Well, it's through the Spirit. And we're to go to Christ for the Spirit. The marks of grace are to be found by looking to Christ. We're to go to him that we might receive the Holy Spirit and have the seal of the Spirit, the pledge of the inheritance. In other words, the evidence that we're on the way to heaven. The evidence in our souls and our lives that heaven is ours. It's our inheritance and that it's reserved in heaven for us. That we're on the way to receiving that glorious inheritance where Christ is in heavenly places. Already believers are there. Their head is there, and soon they will be there. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, all spiritual blessings. The Lord does not keep anything back from his people. He blesses them. All these things are theirs. And do we always feel it? Do we always sense it? Are we always conscious of the enjoyment of our privileges? No. That's why we go to the Word. We read about them. We learn of them. We praise God for them as we study them. And we're to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, where Christ is, the great treasury house. But perhaps you will say, tell me more plainly how I can obtain them. Well, the access to the blessings is through Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Do we find a ladder and climb up to heaven to see if our names are there? Do we ascend up some high mountain and receive the blessing there? No. We have access to the storehouse of blessing through faith in Christ. The Spirit works faith in us and unites us to Christ, and we are in him, in Christ, represented by him, and through him, by his Spirit, receiving these blessings. Now, perhaps you'll be objecting that the blessing is for those who were chosen in Christ. That is true. But the access to these blessings is not through election. Let me ask you, did you come into this church through the foundation? Not at all. Well, election, in terms of these blessings, is the foundation, it's the origin. But the access to these blessings are through what? The door. You came through the door into the church, and we're to enter into the blessings through Christ the door. He is the way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So we're to come to Jesus, and he is calling us to himself. And when we come to him by simple faith, as a poor sinner and nothing at all, saying, Jesus Christ is my all in all. I take thee to be my Savior. I have nowhere else to go. Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. When a sinner receives and rests upon Christ alone for salvation, that sinner is saved. That sinner is blessed. That sinner is in Christ and has all the blessings. And how is Christ revealed to us? In the gospel. The Ephesians were elect, yes, those who were laying to heart what Paul said, they were elect. But how did they come to know that? Paul is writing to them to tell them about election, but what he is saying is that you trusted in Christ, verse 13. You trusted in Christ after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's how you were saved. The good news was preached to you, and you believed. And then you knew that you were elect. And so if you desire these blessings, you're not going to find it by working it out yourself, climbing up a mountain, taking a ladder up to heaven, or seeing into the secret purpose of God, whether your name is there among the elect. No, you are responsible to come to Jesus as a poor sinner with nothing, nothing at all, not a strip of righteousness, not any foreknowledge of election, nothing, but a poor, blind, ignorant, hell-deserving sinner receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. That's it. Entering in by the door. This is the gate of God. By it the just shall enter in. The gate of salvation, the gate of the blessing, through Christ the door. And you will then, entering through the door, you will turn around and you will see written over that door, chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world. There is a foundation, and when you come to Christ, you'll know that you rest upon the foundation of the origin of the blessings, and that is the good pleasure of God, his sovereign free grace, chosen in him from the foundation of the world. We should be thankful for the blessings, thankful for election and every blessing that is revealed here in God's word, and let the children of God rejoice in God their Savior and go to him for every blessing they need. Going to Jesus, every one of you, go to him that for the strength, for the grace, for the wisdom, the righteousness, the forgiveness of sins, the blood that cleanseth from all sin. Finally, once again, where are you to go for the blessings? There's a great storehouse. There were also storehouses in Egypt. And there was a man named Joseph who was second in command. And when there was a famine in the land, all the people came, they wanted bread. And what did Pharaoh tell the people? Go unto Joseph. Whatever he says, that do. And they did that. They came to Joseph and he gave them bread. And God the Father is saying to us, go to Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Go to him. You'll have the blessing. You'll have the riches of his grace. Hear him say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know from thy word that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, that we might receive the blessing from the Most High, that we would receive the blessing from the great high priest who is over the house of God in heaven this very moment interceding, and is able to give each of us the blessing with a divine glory and majesty in the blessing. And when we receive it, it will be to us joy unspeakable and full of glory, looking to Christ, oh, whom we do not see because he is in heaven, but rejoicing in him, rejoicing in Christ, and having no confidence in the flesh or in our own wisdom and righteousness, laying it all aside and receiving all from Christ. Hear us, Lord, and pardon all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.